Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Show served up hot and fresh here on the Fancy Sparky Pfeiffer, Mike Clemens, no Gary, no Leroy. They're in a golf outing. I think it's the Charles Woodson golf outing, if memory serves correct. And then Rami Makhlouf, he did the morning show the last 2 days, did a great job. So looking forward to getting everybody back on Monday for a normal version of the Wendy's Big Show. Kind of doing like an Insane in the Membrane, Sparky's Midday Madness version of the show today. That's why you're hearing that theme music today, because I don't know. I'm old and I like to reminisce, and that's why we're doing it. Coming up at 3:48, we'll talk with the franchise Tim Allen, get his thoughts on Josh Hader and Manny Machado not being a Brewer and all that fun stuff, because we haven't heard from him. Him and Baby Tausch back on the air tonight after the Brewers and Dodgers. Manny Machado's uniform hanging up in the clubhouse at Miller Park, so I'm assuming he'll probably end up playing tonight for the Dodgers. Changing gears a little bit here, and that's why Joe Zanzola is back in the studio, to the Milwaukee Bucks. And their future and going forward. And I thought of this the other day, and we just never been able to get to it earlier this week. Everybody is saying, you know, what does this mean now without Jabari Parker going forward, and Eric Bledsoe being a free agent, and Chris Middleton with the ability to opt out to become a free agent, which everybody believes he will coming up next summer to get as much money as he can. Then there was a report that he doesn't want and will not sign an extension currently because he wants to play the free agent market. And what came to my head was this. If Bledsoe and Middleton do leave in free agency, you are then relying on Giannis to be able to recruit to get somebody else to come here and play with him. Which means we're talking about somebody coming here and playing in Milwaukee for 6 months, most of which will be cold and snow and all that other stuff that goes along with it. And it's Giannis. So Kawhi Leonard, apparently, according to reports, is already recruiting guys to play with him somewhere next year in 2019. We all know the LeBron deal, right? LeBron spotted out last night with Kevin Durant and possibly Draymond Green out having cocktails and dinner or whatever out in L.A. or wherever it was last night. So he obviously is planning ahead for the Lakers and trying to figure out how he's going to get his team to deal with Golden State's team. It just doesn't appear to me that Giannis is that type of guy. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Giannis has built relationships with superstar players across the league, and he's in constant contact and is trying to figure out how to get them to Milwaukee. Maybe that's happening. But if we're all under the assumption, then that's probably not happening right now. The question is this. Do you think the Bucks are going to have to do to Chris Middleton what they did to Michael Redd? And that is give him max money, even though you may not believe he deserves max money. But you do it because at the end of the day, you think that you have no other option. When they gave Michael Redd max money back in the day with Herb Cole, they gave Michael Redd max money because they weren't convinced that anybody else of that stature would ever come to Milwaukee. And how were they going to sell tickets? And how were they going to be competitive without a star player? Which eventually would be an Olympian in Michael Redd. So they just sucked it up and gave him the max money. And that's pretty much how that whole thing went. And fast forward, and everybody complained about how much money they paid him and everything else. With Chris Middleton, is it really going to be any different? Are they in a situation where you think they're going to have to give Chris Middleton crazy big money to keep him because they may fear that they won't be able to get anybody else to come here and play with Giannis? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Joe Zinzola sitting in for this part of the show. What say you, Joe?
Well, if you've heard my takes on Chris Middleton over the last couple of years, I find myself defending Chris Middleton more than anyone else when it comes to what he is, what his ceiling is. And let's be honest here. Last season, before the season started, I came out and said, I think Middleton can go out and average 20 points a night. I think he's capable of doing that. I think that's where he can go. And sure enough, Chris Middleton got 20 points a game. And the thing is, that was a career high for Chris.
Right.
Now, let's make no bones about it. Who was the best player in that Bucks-Celtics series? Out of all the players, it's Chris Middleton, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Chris Middleton played out of his mind. Chris Middleton, career high, points per game, career high in rebounds. He was pretty good when it came to jump shooting. I mean, just mid-range shots, that's all he was doing the entire season. And he was draining them, more so than not. The one issue with Middleton was three-point shooting. It went down. And we talk about what do the Bucks need the most, three-point shooting. I'm looking at this, and after what I saw out of Chris Middleton in that series against the Celtics, I'm thinking, all right, can he do this again this season for the Bucks? Is he capable of taking his game to another level? Does that exist with Chris Middleton? I don't know if that's possible. And when we're talking about max money, sorry, he doesn't deserve max money. He should never deserve max money. Unless Chris Middleton has some awakening and becomes this legitimate number two player next to Giannis. I just don't see that happening. Like, we're talking, Sparky, we're talking 25 points a game at least out of Middleton, right? I mean, we're...
Your top 10 scorers in the NBA last year, your 10th guy averaged 23.
23.
Your top 10 guys. Your 10th guy was 23.
All right. So can Chris Middleton, ask yourself this, Bucks fans, can Chris Middleton go out there and average 23 a night? Is that reasonable for you? Or do you think Chris Middleton is just a third or fourth piece to a championship caliber team or a sixth man? Some of you think he's a sixth man, and that's a fair argument.
Chris Middleton was 26th in the NBA in scoring average last year.
22nd.
He was in front of Klay Thompson.
Okay.
He was in front of TJ Warren, Dennis Schroeder, Drew Holiday, Harrison Barnes. He was in front of Chris Paul, in front of Tobias Harris, in front of Jokic, in front of Gordon, okay. Bledsoe. Bledsoe was 32nd in the league at 17.7. Kevin Love was 35th at 17.6, along with Aaron Gordon. Marc Gasol was 17.2 and 38th. Dwight Howard, Kyle Lowry, 16.2 and 42nd. Carmelo, 16.2 and 43rd. Some of the guys that he was a better scorer than.
Okay. Well, all those names you listed off, outside of Klay Thompson, and again, Klay Thompson is playing on a team.
No, it's close. It was 20 points even for Klay Thompson. Middleton was 20.1.
Right. And let's just debate here who's the better three-point shooter between Chris Middleton and Klay Thompson. It's Klay Thompson by a mile. And Klay Thompson's already on a team that has three, four superstars on it. And Klay Thompson, he's going to get paid somewhere. I don't know where.
Three-point shooting percentage, 35.9% for Middleton. Klay Thompson, 44%.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, night and day. So look, at the end of the day here with Chris Middleton, as much as I like the guy, if he's going to go out there and say, I want to get paid. I want to make max money. I'm not going to take a discount.
But Joe, the problem is this. I wouldn't have given Michael Redd the money either back in the day.
Right.
And I agree with you. I don't want to give Middleton the money either. The question is, though, are you going to have to because you're not convinced you can get another guy to come here? Can you get one of those other top 20 guys to come here and play with Giannis in free agency in the next 2 years? That's the question. Because New York's going to have money. Brooklyn's going to have money.
Sure.
Clippers are going to have money. Lakers are going to have money. Toronto could have money if Kawhi Leonard leaves. I mean, there's going to be a bunch of teams sitting out there with money, and you're going to be one of many that are going to be lobbying for him to come play with you. For instance, if you're New York and you have Porzingis and Milwaukee has Giannis, that's going to be the battle of who do you want to play with? You want to go to big market New York and deal with the snow there? Brooklyn, same type of deal that goes along with that because there's rumors that Kawhi Leonard's going to try and find a guy or two to play with him, maybe with the Nets, and maybe it's not going to end up being the Clippers. That is the conundrum that they're going to have themselves in. Do they believe they can get another guy that can do or
do what Middleton does or do better than what Middleton does if they let Middleton and Bledsoe walk.
I'm taking my chances. Chris Middleton.
So you say no.
Okay. Absolutely not. I'm not doing it.
Okay.
I'll take my chances.
Take your chances. Mel on the north side. You're next on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Mel?
Listen, I'm sorry. I like Chris Middleton. I think you guys are undervaluing him at 22. All you have to do is tell me how many guys 25 up in scoring get max money. It's kind of a formula if you look at it that way.
All right. So let's look at it. James Harden, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Damian Lillard. Giannis didn't take max money, even though he could have had max money. He took less, but he's a max money guy. Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Kyrie. And then after that, I'm not sure after that where it all falls. I'm not sure there's a Blake Griffin, I believe, was a max money guy. But like Karl Anthony Towns hasn't hit his big payday yet. He's 20th. Donovan Mitchell was a rookie. He was 21st. Paul George, I think, hit max money at one point or another. Kemba Walker's making a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy Butler's going to hit it big coming up, his next contract.
I thought there were 32 teams.
There are.
So those 32 teams pay their best guy max money or no?
Not all of them have max money players, no.
No, everybody doesn't get max money.
No, I can look up the salaries here and I can double check, but no, not all 32 teams have a max money player, no.
Okay, all right. So, you know, that's it. And then what's the closest to that? To my concept, this is a Michael Redd situation. You screwed up by letting Jabari go. You should have. You get what you pay for. If you don't pay your guys, nobody wants to come to Milwaukee. You guys are smoking inner city crack. There, nobody wants to come here. How many Bledsoe car commercials do you hear? How many Giannis milk companies are there? Is he advertising for?
Well, he's gonna have a shoe. He got his shoe
Milwaukee
deal though.
Is not so. That sexy. I don't care. You go to other towns. You drive in, you see the best guy, LeBron. You see him in Cleveland. You see these guys in Chicago. They get the money from different advertisers. You don't get that in Milwaukee.
All right, Mel. Thanks for the call.
Wonder why?
What? Why? Why, Mel?
Because a small market team is basketball, and they don't want to invest in those types of players.
Gotcha. All right, Mel. Thanks for the call. So this is the deal. That, I think, was a huge philosophy for a long time, right? If you play in a smaller market, you're not going to get the advertising deals and whatever else. But back when that was such a big deal, players weren't making as much as they are now. Not saying that a guy making $25 million doesn't want to make more. Everybody wants to make more than what they're making.
Absolutely.
That's just the way of life.
Yep.
Okay. So, but for Giannis, for instance, if it was all about money for him, he could have taken more money a year. He didn't. He took less. Why? Because he was trying to make sure they had money to sign other guys. Now, if Chris Middleton goes, yeah, I don't really care. I'm getting all mine. You can't be mad at Chris Middleton. If he demands more than Giannis and gets it from somebody or from the Bucks, somebody's willing to pay him, then take it. I'm not going to be mad at Chris Middleton for getting that money. But it is similar to Michael Redd, I think, at this point, as far as where the owners are and how they're going to go about doing this. Because legitimately now, it feels like you need three stars. So if you say Middleton is a perennial, is a potential all-star, he's averaging over 20 points a game, that's two. Then is Eric Bledsoe your third? And are those three guys better, or good enough, to beat Boston's, to beat Philly's?
Just no.
Okay, well, I mean, that's really what you're having to debate at this point. And that's just what it is. Lonnie on the west side, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show.
What's happening, Spark?
What's up?
Spark, I like Chris, but you can't give him that money. The reality is Jason Kidd has single-handedly mismanaged the Bucks over the last few years by his, you know, you got to get this guy, you got to get that guy, and the contracts don't matter because, you know, in a few years, what we're currently giving Dele will be peanuts. But what he failed to realize is when you keep doing that, it adds up, and we're in a position we are now where we can't get anybody. You know, you don't have the money. You're locked in. There's no maneuverability. And oh, by the way, if you add to that by signing Chris to a max contract, you have not moved the needle one iota closer towards the championship.
Yep.
But how far does the needle move backwards if it's Giannis and a bunch of role guys and there is no Bledsoe, there is no Middleton, there is no Jabari Parker going into the 2019-20 season?
Sparky, the reality is we're in a rebuild anyway.
Yeah, but how much of a rebuild can you be in, Lonnie, with Giannis' deal coming up in a couple of years?
Okay, so let's start right there. If you're in scramble mode because you're fearful of him leaving, you're still going to mess yourself up even worse because you're going to do something stupid.
Correct.
If Giannis says he wants to be here, you've literally got to put that to the test because you're not going to win a championship in 2 years. You're just not.
Agreed.
So now, you have to, in my opinion, kind of become like the Packers. Get you somebody in here that understands basketball and
give him
the reins.
Yes.
Let him invest.
We all agree on this.
In recruiting, development.
Right on, Lonnie.
And just tell him, listen, man, you're my guy for 7 years no matter what happens. No matter what happens, you're my guy for 7 years. And then you go, you draft smart. You start going overseas and getting some of these guys that are skillful. And you start stashing them. And so you do whatever you have to do to bring in the assets that you need to build a solid foundation. And hopefully it's around Giannis. But if not, man, then you got to go next chapter like Boston and get you some diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, we're on the same page. Thanks for the call. We all agree that they need to redo the whole basketball side of things. And the owners, and this is never going to happen until the owners step aside and realize that they don't belong on that side of the ledger. They just don't. You run the business side of things. And then the basketball side, have a president of basketball operations, and then have a president of the Milwaukee Bucks. Peter Fagan keeps his gig. He looks at the business side. President of basketball operations comes in. He runs the general manager. General manager hires the head coach. They all go together. See the Chicago Cubs for how they do it. That's what you're trying to put together. And then once you have that put together, then just stay out of their way. You don't have to leave New York. You can stay in New York until the games start and then show up. Say hi to the guys. Hey, how you doing? Hey, nice to see that you're on the team. Nice to meet you. I'm one of the owners. We're just going to be sitting over here. That's about it. If you need anything food-wise, whatever else, let us know. Yep. And then that's it. And let them do their jobs, man. But if they're not going to do that and they want to have hands-on and they think they know how to do basketball better than guys that have been in the league 20 or 30 years, well, then God bless you. It's never going to work. It's just not because they don't know what they're doing. But either way. So we're going to just have to deal with this. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. If Giannis leaves, this ownership group will never be forgiven, and it's going to be nearly impossible for them to sell tickets going forward. You can take that one to the bank. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Joe Zinzola hanging out for this segment, talking about the Bucks. Tim Allen, the franchise, comes up at 3:48 as he's back on the air tonight for postgame after Brewers and Dodgers. Mike Clemens hanging here as well. Asking you about Chris Middleton. It's all kind of going in my head earlier in the week. We just never got to it on the show rundown because we had other topics that we got to instead. And since everybody's gone today except me, I'm like, well, I'm going to throw it out there, see what people think. It just seems to me with Bledsoe being a free agent after this year, Middleton having the opportunity to opt out after this year, that they could very well be in a position, they being the Bucks, that they're going to have to pony up huge money to keep Chris Middleton here because they may not think they can get another free agent to come here. And can they really go into the 2019-2020 season with Eric Bledsoe, DiVincenzo, Sterling Brown, Giannis, and John Henson? Can that be your starting five and be comfortable with that going into a basketball season?
Oh, my God.
Or Giannis and Ilyasova are your forwards, I guess it would be, right? Brown, DiVincenzo at the two? Brogdon is your point guard? I mean, you're not going to outscore anybody with that lineup. So that's what I'm thinking. If they don't think they can get another free agent, they may have to ante up like the Bucks did with Michael Redd years ago because they knew they couldn't get anybody to come here and they had to sell tickets. And that's why they paid Michael Redd the money. Damani, in Tulsa, you're next on The Fam.
Hey, what's up, Spark?
What's up?
I was thinking maybe they should go the more the Philadelphia route as far as like drafting more of the international talent, because that's what the game's turned into, a more of a European game anyway.
Yep.
And Giannis and Zion are international kids, so I mean, just go that route.
So let me ask you this: so if they let Middleton go, and Middleton signs in New York, let's say, and Bledsoe goes and signs wherever he signs, and next year your lineup is Brogdon, Brown or DiVincenzo, Ilyasova, Giannis, and Henson. Yeah. You're going to be okay with that because they're going to get a better draft pick?
Honestly, I will, because let's just say if they try to like keep Giannis, they're going to do something really dumb.
Well, they very well could. Now, they could do something dumb regardless. That's not going to stop anybody. Damani, thanks for the call. I hate when history repeats itself, but it feels like history is going to repeat itself.
Yeah.
Milwaukee history. Not Bucks history. Milwaukee history. And I'll tell you what I mean after we get to a sports flash, but first let's get to Bruce on the south side. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, how you doing, Sparky?
All right, Bruce.
I've been listening. I think if Giannis leaves, I think they're in a clear rebuild. If you have those three leaving, you're back to square one again. Can the Bucks really afford to do that again if they go back to square one and do another rebuild? And this is my prediction. I don't see John Horst being the Bucks GM for a long time. I see him probably maybe 3 years max if nothing don't go right. That's my prediction.
See,
that's
and,
cool, my man.
All right, thanks for the call. Lazary is going to get to run this organization and be the final say guy, right, after one more year.
Which could lead to another problem.
Which could lead to it going well a couple different ways. It could be him saying, I don't want to be involved in all this crap. I'm just going to hire the basketball guy. We are going to take ourselves out of it while I'm in charge. And when Edens gets back in charge, he can put himself right back in the middle if he wants. But for the next 5 years, I'm going to do what the fans want us to do, and that is stay the hell out of it. So we're going to hire president of basketball operations. We're going to let him do everything else. We're out. We all have to agree on a president. And then after that, he hires his own general manager. He hires his own coach. They make the trades. They come to us to make sure we don't want to go into luxury tax or whatever. We have to be aware of that. It's our money. But outside of that, you do what you got to do. I'm going to be in New York making money.
But this is assuming Lazary's going to have that kind of mindset.
He may not.
He may say, you know what, John Horst, see you later. I didn't want you anyway. Let me bring in my guy. Maybe I'll call up Justin Zanuck again and give him a second chance.
It could be. He could do that too. We don't know. All I'm saying is the game's going to change possibly again when Lazary gets in charge. So we don't know how it's going to work going forward. I find it hard to believe, though, this fan base is going to be okay with a rebuild starting in the second year of the stadium. But I'll tell you about Milwaukee history repeating itself coming up next. But first, let's get to a sports flash with our guy, Mike Clemens. Served up hot and fresh live from the Frontier Motors Studios here on The Fan. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, along with Joe Zenzola, Frontier Motors. South 27th Street, big fans of the big show, big fans of The Fan itself. Always like to support our sponsors and always appreciate if you support the sponsors as well. So go check out Frontier Motors if you're looking for a car on South 27th Street. Wendy's, if you're looking for affordable family fun tonight, $1.99 kids meals after 4 o'clock at Wendy's. Taking the hassle out of family dinners for you, they are. And don't forget this, $1.99 after 4 o'clock, a win-win for the entire family. And maybe you're a big chicken fan. You like chicken tenders, they got chicken tenders. Perfect balance of a tender inside and crispy outside with Wendy's new side of Sossum sauce. Or even better, try the chicken tenders right now with Sossum sauce at your local Wendy's today. So you get a kid's meal for them, get yourself some chicken tenders, and you are happy, happy by going to Wendy's here on this rainy Friday here in southeastern Wisconsin. Talking about Michael Redd, Chris Middleton, and whether or not you would give him max money, similar to Michael Redd, kind of because you have to, because you don't think there are any other options of getting somebody else here to play with Giannis if Chris Middleton were to pick up and get out of here. PJ the DJ tweets at 105.7 FM, the Fan, let Middleton, Bledsoe, Henson, Delly, and Telly go. Well, Telly's done. They already stretched him out or retired or whatever the case may be. Play all the young guys, especially DiVincenzo and Sterling Brown and Muhammad. Wait till Golden State's reign ends. And Golden State's reign may end in the next year or so, because Draymond doesn't want to sign an extension. Durant can leave, I believe, after this year as well, because it's that 1-1 deal where you can play a year and then opt out. And going off the LeBron report, you would think that maybe he ends up with LeBron in L.A. Draymond can leave. Klay Thompson can leave. Next year, Klay's a free agent. So that this may be the last year of the run of this thing. And then after that, Golden State may have to figure out what they're going to do, and the powers may shift. This is what I wanted to talk about as far as Milwaukee history repeating itself. If you go back to Miller Park and that stadium, and year one of that stadium, it was sold out every game. It was awesome. Now you get all this additional revenue money. You have the highest payroll you've ever had, somewhere in the 52, 53 million mark or something like that that year. You signed Jeffrey Hammond, which was a horrible deal because he was always hurt in Colorado, came to Milwaukee, was always hurt here. They paid him like $7 million a year or something like that. And you had over 100 loss season. And in the second year of a brand new stadium, it was a ghost town.
I remember that as a kid.
Absolute ghost town. Tim and I would go to games and have our own section. It was awful. It was like being at County Stadium again, except a lot nicer. And you just shook your head like, how does this happen? Like, how do you screw it up this bad in the second year of the stadium? And all I can think to myself is, you could be looking at a similar type deal. Yes, you will have Giannis. So it will never be a ghost town as long as Giannis is here, because people want to take their families to see Giannis. So I get down with that. But as far as the backward process in which this could all tumble downhill on you, could very well start next year in the 2019 season. This may be, you know, the one and only really competitive season for this Bucks team for the next couple of years, possibly, if Middleton and Bledsoe both leave. And this brings me back to the topic at hand. I just got the sneaking suspicion they may pay him a ton of money to make sure they've got two 20-point scorers on this team to build around going forward, and then figure out a way to trade for a third guy.
I still think at the end of the day, that's not even going to be enough. If it's Giannis, Middleton, and then another star, I don't know if it'd be another superstar. I still don't even know if that's going to be enough to go up against teams like the Sixers, teams like the Celtics.
And the Knicks and Brooklyn are going to have money to build their team.
Right, exactly. Sparky, I don't know how many times I've had to say it, and some people get on me for it, because, you know, I'm trying to look at what's optimistic about the Bucks and their future. Like, can we really talk about a potential Eastern Conference final, a potential NBA final in this city anytime soon? And I keep coming around to the fact, I'm thinking, no. How? How is that supposed to be accomplished? Yes, you have Giannis. Thank God you have Giannis. And you have that new arena. But outside of that, what else is there, and what other opportunities are to make the team better? And that's why I keep coming back to Giannis. Either Giannis has to recruit in order to, you know, give Milwaukee and the city and everything else the credibility it deserves. Otherwise, I just don't see what else. And as Lonnie, we had a caller earlier who said, put Giannis to the test. Giannis keeps coming out and saying, Buck for life, Buck for life, Buck for life. All right, Giannis. So if that's what you're going to say, if you're that gung-ho about staying in Milwaukee, this is your home, you don't want big markets, well then, Giannis, how do you feel about another rebuild? How do you feel about tanking again? How do you feel about this team trying to get a top three pick in the draft, another young stud to put next to you, because clearly this team cannot sign a free agent? See, that's where...
They got Greg Monroe, though. Well, that was their biggest free agent they've signed.
And at the time, that was a pretty
big
deal.
Nobody thought they could get Greg Monroe.
Exactly. But Greg Monroe has friends across the league. You know what I mean?
But Chris Middleton recruited Greg Monroe. Middleton recruited him. He came because of Middleton.
I didn't know that.
Yes, Middleton recruited Monroe to Milwaukee. It was Middleton that got him here.
Because of
they played in Detroit.
Detroit, right, right.
He recruited him. So I know Middleton can recruit. I've seen it. I don't know about Giannis. I don't know where his relationships are across the league. He's only been here. He only knows guys that have played here. He's met other guys around the league over the course of time.
Mm-hmm.
Does he vacation with other guys around the league? Does he have good relationships with other guys around the league that he meets at the All-Star game? Do they exchange numbers? Do they work out together? All this? I don't know. But I'm telling you right now, if he can't recruit for them, and again, I just don't know if that's in his DNA, it's going to be awfully tough, I think. Hey, are you looking for a new career? Would you like to be a part of a Christian-based family company? A company that's been in business over 27 years. How about a company that's been listed on Inc. Magazine, one of America's fastest-growing companies 7 out of 8 years? While you're in luck, Young Express, the company we talk about so much, is growing. Young Express is expanding their dispatch department. Now, the good thing is you don't have to have any experience. None at all. They'll train you. But you do have to have some skills. Basic math skills. Got to have that. Good phone skills. Okay. Able to multitask. That's not good. Everybody can't multitask. Able to navigate a computer. Most can do that. An overall friendly disposition for dealing with a variety of customers and drivers. And you can be a part of the Young Express team. At Young Express, they're going to give you a competitive hourly wage, paid holidays, vacation time, 401k with company match. That's my favorite part. Health plan, and you get to work for the great John Young, who is one of my favorite people. Apply at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. JUNGExpress.com. Young Express. Success drives them. Coming up next, the franchise, Tim Allen, will get his take on the Milwaukee Brewers. Josh Hader not getting Manny Machado. And what's next as he gets ready to get back on the air for his postgame show coming up tonight. Welcome in. It is Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Joining us now, the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. We know him as the franchise.
Jeez, you're going to talk?
What?
You're going to talk or let the music play for 20 minutes?
What's the point of having music if you talk within 5 seconds of it playing? Really?
No,
what
playing
is the point? Just don't even have bumper music then. Just turn your microphone on after the commercial and talk if you're not going to let the music breathe.
Curl up into the fetal and cry.
Well, that's what Josh Hader may be doing right now. Hey, when we talk about this situation with Hader going forward, how concerned are you about him on the field in the second half with all of this stuff going on?
That's a crapshoot. That's a tough one. I mean, different guys get affected in different ways. And it does at times drip onto that field, and I think that's why Craig Counsell is focused on that field right now. And he says he doesn't mean to be callous about it, but that maybe that's why he said that, because he knows it plays a part. Hey, if emotions play a part in chemistry and connectivity in the clubhouse, then that proves, right, that emotions play a part on that baseball field as well.
From this perspective, I've said earlier in the show, and I'm standing by this going forward, so they shouldn't put him in the bullpen tonight. They shouldn't put him in the bullpen on the road. They should leave him in the clubhouse at least for a couple of weeks. And then if you want to test him out there during the game, out there in the bullpen, fine. But I'm not putting him out there to have people yelling stuff at him and then having his bullpen mates getting in the middle of it, yelling back at the fans, and all hell breaks loose out there from game to game, depending on where they are. I have no interest in this, and if Josh Hader doesn't like it, well, that's too damn bad. You're the one that put us in this situation. You're going to be isolated in there until I need you to go out there and warm up in the bullpen.
Tough to move on when you're doing that. It really is. It might make it easier. It might not. I mean, when you get to the moving on part of it, which is what a lot of these players are focused on, that just prolongs this thing. That prolongs it. It may just provide a bigger spotlight for it. The concern has to be there in a number of veins. It does, and that, you know, from counsel's point of view is the game tonight and how you get through that. It's tough, and how, it's interesting. But sometimes the jury is a crapshoot, and you think you got them locked down, you got them nailed on something. This is a defendant. And it turns the other way on you because there's just so many different angles to it. I don't know.
It's not a PD thing or a PED thing. And me and Adam McKelvey were talking about this last hour. It's not that where, a lot of fans don't care about cheating or any of that stuff. So they really don't care. Dude, whatever. Everybody has lied or cheated in their lives. Let's move on. So not everybody on the road, not everybody at home is going to boo Ryan Braun because not everybody's as emotionally invested in it. This dude here with what he did offended a whole bunch of different races, plus the gay community on top of it. So that's a personal attack, essentially, on them, I would imagine. That's what I'm assuming it is, a personal attack on them of how they're going to take it. You may have people buying tickets to games just to boo that dude or go yell at him who don't even care about the baseball game.
Could happen. And then there's the other side that say, hey, man, we've all done stupid things as adolescents. We've all done stupid things, and that was stupid.
And that's the other thing you don't want. You don't want fights at the ballpark over this.
Yeah, no mistake about it. I mean, what if – I mean, there's so many different layers on this thing.
A ton, no doubt.
But what about the group that wants to support the guy after a seven-year mistake? And that's – to me, is what I'm reading from some of these players, most all of them. So some of them are saying, well, let's hold off, see what he's got to say. But, I mean, almost immediately, Lorenzo Cain said, let's move on. Jeremy Jeffress, who has made mistakes in the past himself, had, put his arm around him, said, I support my guy here. And he's not that guy today. So there's that other part, too, that, the immaturity has gone away, and so I have to look at it that way. It's going to be just fascinating tonight, if indeed they get in a spot where they put him in. And Craig Counsell, my guess is just going to react as if nothing happened when it comes to the strategy of that baseball game. I don't think that plays a part. I would hope it doesn't play a part when it comes to the game.
And in other depressing news, Manny Machado had his Dodgers press conference at Miller Park today. That's fun.
Yeah, and wouldn't you know it, the Brewers come up short on the negotiations, and the schedule gods just say, well, okay, so he's going to play at Miller Park, but just not for you. I mean, when it rains, it pours, man. They need a zap of energy here. They need something to turn the tide.
Okay, so now if you're the Milwaukee Brewers going forward, you're not getting Manny Machado. Who's the next big fish that Tim Allen wants?
I want Escobar from the Twins, and I'll take it in a package deal with Rodney. And then I would also – see, and there again, there's another can of worms that you open up. Now does everyone think, oh, my goodness, the Josh Hader incident precipitated a must move to get a bullpen arm. I was in the thought that they were going to get a bullpen arm prior to that.
You got a week for me on Hader. If he blows up consistently for the next 7 days, then I think you have to go find somebody.
I think either way, they need a bullpen arm. Those are the two guys, and I think those are the two guys that come the cheapest. And I loved what I heard from David Stearns with his quotes yesterday that says, hey, from this point forward, essentially, he had said, from this point forward, we're vying for the playoffs, and
right,
it's sustainability time. We're there already. We're already there. It was cool to hear.
He is the franchise, Tim Allen. Catch him tonight along with Baby Tausch after the Brewers and Dodgers at Miller Park. And again, as far as I know, I've not seen anything of the sort or different that they're going to do that Josh Hader promotion tonight involving his beer and Miller Coors is apparently still going to happen tonight. And I can only imagine the names that people will be calling that beer tonight when they order it. So that is amazing.
Well, we'll clean everything up on the post-game show tonight.
You always do. He is a franchise. Okay. Tim Allen with Baby Tiles tonight. See him. There he is on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935. Those of you that remember To the Corner Thursdays back in the day on Sparky's Midday Madness, remember how that all worked. We're going to bring that back at about 4:30 or so here on the big show. And that's always a lot of fun. It is a must for listener participation, because if there's no listener participation, To the Corner is not going to work. So I need you all to participate on the phone lines when we do this coming up at about 4:30, 4:35. But coming up next, Mike Clemens will join us again, and we'll look ahead to Packers training camp that starts next week. That's up next here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.